Welcome back to Terrace House Mafia. I know it's been a little while, but we're back at it again. And just like in Terrace House itself, we've got a little revolving cast of our own this time. I'm now living in Los Angeles, so Chad Hyman is back in San Francisco. So we've got a new correspondent here. We've got Noelle Kenny.
Hello.
Hello. I'm going to wheel you a little closer to the mic.
And we're drinking White Claw.
We are drinking White Claw.
LA people. Sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have just watched the pilot episode of the brand new 2019 season of Terrace House called it's actually called Terrace House Tokyo 2019-2020. And we're just going to share our thoughts on it. I think what's going to be interesting about this season of Terrace House Mafia is that Noelle is actually Japanese. So instead of it being just two American Californian dudes commenting on this show, we'll have a slightly more nuanced perspective. Although we are both struggling with the names.
Yeah.
Which was really
terrible, but like, true.
It's kind of hard. I think just in any... Having six people's names dumped on you in any piece of fiction is kind of
That's
tricky.
True. All at once.
But man. And we should also talk briefly about how we're watching this new season. So interestingly, this season, so Netflix doesn't really do shows in America. They like to release things all at once. And so as a result of that, Terrace House is coming out in weekly installments in Japan. So it's already on Japanese Netflix, mm-hmm. not available on American Netflix. So, what we've done is we're using a piece of software called NordVPN, promo code to be inserted later. And it turns out if you use a Japanese VPN and log in with your American Netflix account, the whole show is there, every episode that's out today with English subtitles.
Yeah, so, worked like a charm.
It really was like shockingly painless.
Yep.
So we're watching the show in English subtitles just as we would if it came out in America, which is kind of enabling us to get a head start on this season.
Mm-hmm. Not like having to binge it all.
Yeah.
In
which
one night.
I kind of like that we can pace ourselves.
Yeah,
a little
I appreciate
bit here.
That.
I can't promise that we won't occasionally refer to people this season as like, oh, that's the parkour girl.
We're trying our best.
Yeah. I think it will be helpful that this season, the six members of the house we've been introduced to so far are all incredibly distinct personalities.
Yeah.
Like, that makes
right
me incredibly happy. Like, mm-hmm. I really am not going to... None of them really have anything... Like, they're not similar at all. And it's going to make it really easy to delineate between them. so let's run down the list real quick. The first person we meet... Also, really quickly, I want to say... This house is crazy. Okay. Like, the actual physical house.
The fucking mid-century vibes. Also, like, the gold finishes on the stairwells looks like the Titanic. Very unsettling. I don't like it.
It does look a lot like the Titanic. And hopefully we get some Titanic-caliber disasters.
Yes.
From an interpersonal perspective in this house.
Perspective.
You know what I'm really fond of that I forgot about from Boys and Girls in the City is I love how the first 10 minutes of a season of Terrace House feels, where you get this, like, these really quiet, almost completely serene shots of the house with nobody in it, and then they really just stretch the tension on revealing someone's face.
Yeah,
like, the first person
who
comes in is Kaori.
Kaori, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the illustrator.
And, like, we don't even see her from the neck up for, like, a full minute. We just see her kind of walking through the apartment. Or likewise, how, like, when they comment on how there's a pool in the house and then they show us the pool for the first time.
Which is, like, the sickest pool out of all pools thus far.
Yes, this is, I feel like the producers of Terrace House feel like they have to keep escalating the pool quality season to season.
Well, their budget gets bigger and bigger, I'm
That
sure.
is true. Mm-hmm. This feels like a big budget season. Yeah. They got those Jaguars in the garage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the best car yet. Mm-hmm.
It is. So the first person we meet is Kaori, 28 mm-hmm. years old. She's an illustrator.
She's my favorite.
Really?
She's so cute.
The first... They started the show with a showstopper. The first one they show you is your...
I mean, they're all very attractive.
So that's the yardstick we're
Compared
using.
Compared to the other seasons, I mean, this might be a little fucked up. Maybe let's not put that in
there. No, you can say that. Well, I mean, the thing is, the peanut gallery also says it. When it cuts to the peanut gallery... That was me and Chad's term for the commentators.
Okay.
When it cuts to the peanut gallery...
the peanut gallery.
That literally the first thing they say after we meet everyone is like, look at all these gorgeous people.
That's true.
Like, they open with that.
Usually they're not on the same level. You know, like, they're all tens.
Usually
it's not all tens.
And we actually were saying out loud as we were watching it together, we were like, when's the ugly dude coming in?
Exactly.
And he never showed up.
Never.
There's no ugly dude this season. So I guess I am kind of curious. Maybe this is paranoid. Do you think that Terrace House is at the point from a budgetary perspective where they're building the houses for the show? Like,
oh,
like I'm wondering if the layout of this house. I'm curious, the layout of this house. I wonder if it's like optimized for cameras. Like it's such an open floor plan. We see that the girl's bedroom has a window that lets them look down onto the common area to spy on people. So like it feels like it's been architecturally min-maxed for maximum drama, which is kind of nice.
They definitely redid things at the very least.
For sure.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
But so your favorite character across the board. Let's just run them down real quick.
Yeah, next person.
Actually, I'm gonna let you say the names, then I'll learn how to.
Oh my god, I don't remember what her name is. Haruka.
Haruka.
She's like the most normie person thus far. She's an actress. She wore a miniskirt. No personality.
None yet.
No, not yet.
None yet. No. The first guy we meet is...
She's kind of an alpha, though.
She seems like
they're all alphas, though.
That's what's going to be interesting about the season, I think.
Exactly.
And we see that in the final scene, which we'll get to, but, like, people start butting heads, like...
Their egos are going to clash so hard.
Yeah. The peanut gallery even alludes to that. So, Shohei is the first guy we meet. He's a model who just got back from living in Taiwan.
Yeah, Taiwanese dude.
But is he actually Taiwanese? He has a Japanese last name.
I don't know.
It's a little,
There's a lot of history between Taiwan and Japan, so I don't know
gotcha.
How to describe.
But at any rate, he just got to Japan from Taiwan, and boy are his arms tired.
Like the night before,
Yeah.
Jet lagged.
Then we meet
Kenji,
aka Kenny, which is great. He's got a nickname built in. He's like 31.
He nicknamed himself Kenny.
Which is tight.
Okay.
I love that because that means I don't have to come up with a nickname for him.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's like the oldest dude by kind of a landslide. He's 31 years old.
Oh, right.
He's a musician.
Right.
What's your first impression of Kenny?
He feels like he's trying to be American,
kind of. Interesting.
But they were all saying like, oh, he doesn't speak that much. Is it because he's holding back, or it's just because he's like mature?
Right.
But honestly, he just seems like he's trying to he just seemed like, you know, he's gonna play the girls. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting. Yeah. That the sort of leopard print coat he wore
at
the grocery
store. Oh my
god, I
forgot about the leopard print coat.
Kind of tells you everything you need to know about him.
Oh, and then his art. Is that his art?
Oh yeah, he's got his like, he pulls up his Instagram immediately.
It's like Tumblr photos of like California, like half
girls with
girls.
Their fitties out.
Yeah,
I really get the impression that he is one of those dudes who's like, in all his alone time, is spending 5 to 6 hours a day on the gram. Because in their initial combo, he busts out his Instagram to show off his illustrations, and then
within the first like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then when we meet Risako, who does parkour, he chimes in with, "Oh, I think I've seen that on Instagram."
Oh yeah.
So he's like,
definitely homeboy, always on the gram.
Homeboy is consistently on the gram.
If you go on his Instagram, that leopard coat is probably in like 5 of his
it
photos.
It probably is. Yeah. I bet he's got a separate, like an art Instagram and a fashion Instagram.
Yeah, totally.
And then, so, I alluded
wait,
to her. Yeah.
He's like the photographer that would slide into your DM.
Right. He's like, hey man, do you want to do like a topless photo shoot with
me? That's him.
He's got that energy.
And they're like 30-something, and you're like,
they're always 31.
Yeah.
And then, last but not least, we meet Luca.
Luca.
Who is 20. He's a baby.
Wait, didn't we talk about the fitness girl?
We didn't, you're right.
Yeah.
We didn't. So Risako, who does parkour and is a fit... What was your first impression of her?
She's a badass, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really young, what, like 20, 21?
Mm-hmm.
But she seems like she knows what she wants in her life.
Right.
And, like, is very confident, not in, like, a cocky way.
So you and Kenny agree that she seems very mature.
I am Kenny. Last name is Kenny.
Right, you guys are the same. It's all coming together. She's got kind of a distinct look from the other girls. I think
she's a gyaru.
She's a gyaru,
but not all the way.
No, she's like a partial.
She's like
a 4 out of 10.
On the gyaru scale. She's like a post gyaru. Yeah,
right. Maybe when she years ago used to be fully decked out.
She probably
out,
had like a real gyaru phase,
and then now she's like. She's toning it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did jump ahead there, but
Luca.
Luca. Retail worker. What's weird is he says he
works in
fashion retail, but then later in the show, somebody alludes to him working at Murasaki Sports,
which is like the Dick's Sporting Goods of Japan.
Okay, and I wouldn't call Dick's Sporting Goods a fashion retail.
Yeah, no, but they have. they have clothes.
Okay.
For sports.
Right. I guess that's...
They went to Murasaki Sports in the last Karuizawa season. What is that one called? Opening New Doors.
Okay.
To buy, like, snowboard clothes.
Okay.
Like, they went there.
So, people who have watched more Terrace House than me have seen
that's
the inside of a Murasaki Sports before.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
That's it.
That's
a chill place to work for, like, someone who's into sports, though. Like
first job out of college. Yeah. Do you think he's into sports?
I actually don't know. He has a bunch of Supreme stickers. Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just...
It's always, like, the young dude who has all the Supreme stickers, too.
Yeah, there's like always
easily
one.
Easily influenced, you know?
There's always one in the house.
I'm just dragging them. It's okay.
I love... I'll harp on this one last time. The energy of the beginning of a season of Terrace House, and specifically the first person who gets to the house, and the way that the show really lingers on these moments of them awkwardly, clumsily, like, looking around this house, being like, am I the first one here? Like, all that shit.
Yeah.
Followed by, like, do you remember? So, when Kaori comes in, the first person to arrive is Shohei, right?
Yeah, Shohei.
And he asks her permission to sit down.
Oh, yeah.
Please help me culturally walk me through this moment. He asks, may I sit down? And she's like, yeah. And then she says, I sat without asking, but she was alone in the house. So what does that mean?
There, I can't explain that.
Okay.
I don't know. I think she was just very nervous.
Got it.
Honestly.
There's a lot of that nervous energy, but
it's just like the polite response for her. Mm. And that's probably why she nervously fell into it.
Got it.
But it was very Japanese, those first, like, 5 minutes.
You were saying that a lot during that opening convo of just, like, up until the title screen part, you were like, this is one of the most Japanese conversations I've ever seen,
that is
what you said.
That is not how Americans introduce each other.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that was very distinctly Japanese.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I am, overall, like, so pumped for this season.
Yeah.
Like, we were saying, like, even halfway through it, we were like...
It was, like, so horny from the first 10 minutes.
Extremely.
It has to get wild.
You could cut the tension with a knife in this joint.
Yeah, it was too good.
Who do you think is gonna cry first?
Okay, you said that Duka is gonna cry first.
That's my vote.
But then that actress girl, what's her name?
Haruka
was cutting onions, mm-hmm. and she was fucking crying while cutting onions.
That's
so
a technicality, though,
that.
Noelle.
Okay.
I'm talking who's gonna cry emotional tears. I think Haruka actually got really close at the end of the episode when the pivotal.
She was so bummed.
So let's. I mean, just in the sake of
her ego.
You think she's got a big ego.
That's probably why.
So, I mean, I guess we could just sort of jump ahead to that. So they go through all the typical Terrace House stuff of, like, they go grocery shopping together.
Yeah.
Two of them run off. It was Kenny and
Haruka
run off.
Yeah.
And, like, leave.
Leave the fitness girl.
Leave her behind. Yeah.
And she's, like, chill with it, though. She kind of
jokes. She's like, oh, haha, where'd they go?
Yeah.
And I actually think that this might be a very rare example of what I would describe as, like, reality TV deceptive editing. Because that moment only feels awkward, I think, because it's, like, one continuous unbroken shot of them walking their cart down the aisle, and then, like, a 10-second gap of nothing, and then she shows up, and it's like, oh, they left me behind. And so when it cuts to the peanut gallery, they're like, wow, that was so fucked up that they did that. And I'm like, was it, or is it dramatized because it's a television show?
Or did she just walk away because she wanted to find some candy?
She's got to get that loose leaf tea or whatever.
Yeah.
I will say this. The guys keep kind of, like, trying to neg Ruka. Because Ruka's, like, a cute baby. His whole gimmick that has been talked to death in the show itself is that anytime he's talking to a girl, he turns red and starts blushing.
He's, like, the little puppy.
He is the little puppy.
Yeah.
The other guys keep kind of trying to, like, I think sort of subtly neg him in front of the girls. Where they're like, hey, man, can you show it? Like, how much are you blushing right now? Like, how do you even get through the day? But it's just making him cuter. Like, it's backfiring.
Yes.
And I think that what they don't realize is that every time they try to shit on this kid for being, like, a little blushy baby,
they love him even more.
It doubles their affection for him. It's like...
That's probably what they resort to when, like, the combo gets awkward, too. They're like, oh, Ruka, like, how are you doing?
Right.
You know, because it's, like...
Because the combination of sitting around the table, all three girls there, Andy's drinking a beer, turned Ruka, like, slowpoke pink.
Yeah,
he was,
a
bright... By the end of the dinner scene, he had changed colors completely.
He's probably only drank, like, one beer in his life, too.
He had, like, a sip of his dad's beer.
Like, I can drink. Like, definitely can't drink.
Politely pretending to drink.
Yeah. oh, he's gonna get, like, blacked and something's gonna happen.
Yeah, he's gonna fully knock out and then just, like, he's gonna be throwing up in the movie theater room and someone else is gonna have to clean him up and he's gonna be super embarrassed and leave the house.
Even you was like, they're gonna take advantage of him. Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm worried for him.
I hope he doesn't push himself too hard.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the final moment because it's, like, the linchpin of this episode. The episode ends with... the girls are like, hey, we haven't seen the guy's bedroom yet. We really want to see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Shohei, the sort of sexy model who...
Taiwanese model.
Yeah, who's like, oh, I do some acting too, by the way, on the side.
Yeah.
He offers to show the girls the guy's bedroom, brings all three of them in there, and then...
They're all just sitting around him.
Right.
Big-ass empty room.
But he's just lounging. He's maxing. He's just hey, this is normal for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Love to have three women so in my room who I just met.
Yeah.
So met. He's being very casual about it.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of start discussing, like, he's like, actually, he says straight up, like, so what are you all doing this weekend?
Yeah, like, which, you all.
You all. Like, he's asking, you described it as almost like... He's asking them all out at the same time, or like
he threw the net.
It reminds me, like, have you ever seen that screenshot of the guy who thought that he was DMing a girl, like, "Hey, what's up? How's it going?" And he in the to field, he added like 50 girls' handles, and so it added them all in a group DM. And he was like, "Haha, I thought it was sent separate." That was the vibe I got from that combo.
I don't know if that's a good vibe or a bad one.
Well, it worked out in the end because he wound up just explicitly saying, "How did he word it?" It was so forward.
Oh, he was like...
He says to Cody...
You've taken me.
He says, actually, I'm drawn to you strongly, Cody.
Oh, that's what he said.
Can we go on...
Don't blame him.
Yeah, well, she's our favorite, too. Yeah. Let's be real.
Don't blame him.
He just straight up asks her out very, very frankly, and she says yes.
I can't imagine her being like, oh, sorry, no.
Right.
You know?
Right. He kind of put her in a slightly uncomfortable position.
Yeah, first day, too. Like, you can't be, a dick on your first day.
Right. So she says yes.
It was kind of a dick move.
Honestly. It was a little... It kind of made me like him slightly less.
Yeah, because it's like you don't even know them and you're like, oh, I'm drawn to you. And it's
right.
Like, okay, so you just want to...
Which is possibly code for, I just had a conversation with the dudes and one other guy expressed interest in you and I want to leap on this first.
I can see the dudes starting to hate Duca too if they continue like squealing over him so much.
Right.
They're going
to
be jealous.
I'm just pumped to see when the... bloodletting begins when people start throwing hands in this house, not physically, but
oh, it's gonna get real
emotionally. I mean, that there's the final shot of this episode, and this might be another example of possibly deceptive reality TV editing, but the camera lingers on Haruka as Risako and Kaori are talking about the date, and Kaori's kind of like, yeah, I don't really know if it's a date. And they keep cutting these shots of Haruka looking kind of sad.
So sad.
Like, super bummed.
So sad.
Which to me is a little bit like, how... But none of you know none of you. Like, definitely, chill out.
Yeah.
But I guess I can kind of understand it in that the stakes are so raised. Like, it's just this... There's cameras on you. You're all about to be thrust into fame. And everyone is there who's... Like, everyone there is single and is kind of openly contemplating dating everyone else. I can kind of see the pressure of that and of... I don't know. I can kind of sympathize with her being
here's the thing. Like, they make more money when they go on dates and have more scenes. This is, like, a fact.
Really?
And it was established in, like, the last season in, like, the snowy one.
Yeah,
Did you watch that?
I saw clips of it.
They had, like, a whole episode where they argued about fake dating because two of the members were just, like, plotting dates together.
To
so
make
that
money.
They can make more money being on air more.
That is... So,
she's the one who wants the Corvette. She's like, yeah, like,
that's
I like
true.
Corvettes.
That's true.
She's like, fuck, I didn't get the
so
first
she's like,
date.
Damn, I didn't get the first date. So it's not strictly speaking that they get paid to go on dates. It's you get paid dependent on your airtime.
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
I think so.
I have a fun fact for you that I withheld while we were watching it. But I noticed that, like, the opening scene with the peanut gallery, there was, like, a Justin Bieber blood pop song behind it. And then the title screen song this season is a fucking Churches song.
Yeah.
And, like...
Churches with a V.
And you were, like... As we were watching, you were like, oh, wow, they changed the music this season.
Yeah.
Here's something you might not know. In the original Terrace House Boys and Girls in the City season, the title theme that season in Japan was a fucking Taylor Swift song.
The first one, right?
Yeah.
The very first one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I watched that because I torrented it.
Okay. So what's interesting...
And I was like, is this real? Like, isn't that like millions of dollars?
So if you watch Boys and Girls in the City on American Netflix, it is not a Taylor Swift song.
Right.
They license like the most cheap, free audio library, Creative Commons sound-alike music and throw it on there. So this is my first time watching actual Japanese Terrace House and hearing all these like multi-million dollar to license American songs that are way cheaper to license in Japan incorporated into
the
show.
It's because Taylor Swift is like, hey, I want an audience in Japan for my music. Right. And this is a really popular show. Yeah. We'll give you a cut.
I think that that's probably the logic behind why licensing a Taylor Swift song is so much cheaper internationally than it is here. I think that makes perfect sense. Anyways.
Now that we've resolved that.
Yeah.